Company of One, episode number 50.
Welcome to the Company of One podcast featuring Dale Callahan. Dedicated to helping you find freedom in life and with your career. Learn how to not only increase your income, but take control of the income you acquire. Let's ignite that inner entrepreneur in you. Now, welcoming your host, Dale Callahan.
And welcome to the 50th episode of Company of One. This is Dale Callahan. I'm your host today, and we're going to be talking through the subject of finding your why. Now, this is a subject that comes up so often to me that I thought during this 50th episode, this would be a great opportunity to re-explore very quickly, actually, what it is to find your why. Let me kind of throw you into what's going on here and why we're discussing this and give you some resources maybe to think through this. One of the most common questions that I get from people who are in corporate America are, something along the lines of, I don't really know what to do. I don't know what to do next. I feel kind of stuck. I feel like I'm in a rut. I feel like I can do my job with both hands tied behind my back. You know, I like my work, but I like my company, but you know, you're seeing all these kind of things where people are, we're struggling and we feel quite frankly empty. Empty because we can't really seem to get straight on what we're doing, why we're doing it, or how we're doing it. So a couple of resources that we're going to go to here is that I think will help. If you go to my blog, just dalecallahan.com, to get to this episode is dalecallahan.com/50, but to go to just the blog itself, it's dalecallahan.com, and you can go to the right-hand side and download the ebook, How to Find Your Calling. Now, what that is, and some of you have already done that and gone through the exercise, and some of you worked with me through that, that helps you identify unique skills, unique abilities, unique talents and gifts that maybe you've been given that you probably don't even know that are true talents and gifts. We take them for granted. Other people know them about us, but we don't see clearly. And so that helps us identify the what. What do I do? You know, when I talk to people, how do I figure out what to do for a living? How do I figure out what to do once I get outside of the company? But as I've worked with people for years now, and partly around that question, is another question comes up. Well, it's not even a question. It's a, what shows itself to me is a limiting in the ability to think outside of a box. Now, I know we way overuse that terminology. So the other resource I want to hit to here is a book, and I have a link in the show notes to both of these, but is The Magic of Thinking Big. It's a book. It's on Amazon. It's a great book. It's actually an older book, but it's a great read because so many of the stories you'll relate to, wow, that, you know, the box that the examples are in are the boxes that you and I are in. That, and we realize, well, we're fairly small thinkers. I mean, a lot of us feel like, hey, I'm a big thinker. I'm a strategic thinker. No, not many people I run into fall into that category. Most of us are kind of small thinkers, at least when it comes to our ability to do things. So those are some great resources, and kind of we're building off of The Magic of Thinking Big and How to Find Your Calling here. Because here's the problem. And I'm going to state the problem and give you some action items. Really, this is an action-oriented podcast, and I know so many of you are doing this and listening to this while you're running or working out or in your car or something. So just go to Dale Callahan 5050, dalecallahan.com/50, and we'll have the show notes here as well as the audio. But this is something I think you need to go through if what I'm about to say sounds like you. Number one, I find people are lost. Now, I don't mean necessarily spiritually lost. But there is this sense of I can walk into a corporate office building and I could talk to people about football or sports or something like that. And they would light up. I could talk to them maybe about their kids' activities or something. But when I talk to them about their work, what they spend most of their time doing, there is a dullness in their eyes. Now, some of them will fake interest, and they can rattle off acronyms and a big, long corporate speech and sound like they really know, like they're talking about something really, really important. And they didn't say anything. But there's a deadness. And it's not a corporate deadness. It's an individual deadness. Because what's happened to many of us is we've gotten a situation where money no longer motivates us. Now, that's not a bad thing necessarily, but as I talk to people, as I look at my own life, money does not motivate me. And I suspect for most of you listening that you may fool yourself in thinking that money motivates you, but I think when you really look honestly, money doesn't motivate you. Because if I throw $20,000 or $30,000 pay raise at you, you might come to work for me as opposed to somebody else. So there's that. And so you'll be like, no, Dale, money does motivate me. But not really, because if I told you there was an opportunity to double your salary by doing some things, to triple your salary by doing some things, most of you aren't willing to do it. You understand that? Most of you are not willing to do what it takes to double or triple your salary, not because it's necessarily hard, but because it's different. And so, and to get off of the path that we are on and moving on to another path, we have to, it takes energy. This is the game of momentum. And all of us are riding on a momentum machine, and it's probably called work, W-O-R-K, or a job, J-O-B. I'm just going out there doing my stuff. I'm getting paid for it. And the thought of increasing my salary dramatically, the thought of even freedom, doesn't motivate me. It doesn't motivate me enough to make it happen. Because I've done this for years. I can see there's a minority of the people out there, including you and maybe me, that are going to take the action to do these kind of things. I know. I've been struggling with, you know, when I look at money, do I want more money? Yes. Do you want more money? I'm sure you do. Can we find things to do with more money? Yes. But it doesn't motivate us. It's not going to be it's not going to shift momentum. Okay. Now, that's true of most people listening to this podcast. And there may be some of you that are in the situation that your money is not there yet. The dollar amount varies wildly. Some of us are happy at $30,000. Some of us are not happy at $300,000 in terms of we're still motivated by money. But for most of you listening, I'm pretty sure that you're in the category that you're not highly motivated by money. And just kind of think through that for a minute. You know, are you willing to do what it takes to double your salary, to triple your salary, to make $500,000 or $1 million per year? Are you willing to learn and to take the steps to do those things? Because if you are, you're probably already doing them. Because it's not like those things are secrets, and it's not like they're incredibly hard work, and it's not like you have to go get a job as an actor or actress or a football player or anything to do that. Lots of people are doing these things, and it's not magic, but it is a shift in momentum for most of us. Now, the other thing that comes out of here is most people are empty. They're looking for something more in life. Now, these two things do kind of go together. Most people I run into, there is an emptiness in their life. People will tell me, I can go to work. I can do my job with both hands tied behind my back. There is this. I got into the field I'm in to do something, and then I took a job, and now all I'm doing is I'm a cog in the wheel. I'm part of a process. As Seth Godin says, I'm part of the factory. I'm just working in the factory. I'm going in there, moving a widget from point A to point B every day, but I don't feel like my life at work has real serious meaning. I cannot see what has happened or where I've impacted or the lives of other people in a positive way through what I'm doing. Because so many of us working for such large corporations, it's kind of hard to tell what you do, how it makes any difference. Even if you work for something that's incredibly powerful, like a healthcare or something where you're messing with people's retirement money and you give people such freedom. Most of us there's so many moving parts that we're so far away from the actual service that we're providing, we don't see it. So, and if you're in the United States or if you're in most industrialized countries where let's face it, you're wealthy. Now, this blessing that comes through wealth for many people has kind of become a curse. Because they don't have a why. They don't have a why am I getting up and showing up at work every day except to pay the bills. So in that sense, money is motivating me to because I want to keep paying the bills. But it doesn't drive me. Instead, it drags me. You know that feeling of getting up on Monday morning and you're being drugged to work? Instead of you're the driving machine and you're in charge. Most people's lives are run in kind of a spectator mode. We're watching other people control our lives. We're watching other people make decisions that impact our lives, and part of that being our money. And we're not a participant. It's like we're sitting at the best seat in the game on the 50-yard line, and we're watching as there's a coach and a boss and a manager and a CEO and maybe a spouse and some other things down there on the sideline making the calls, making the decisions, and we're out there making the plays, but we're watching. We're not active in the planning. We think we are because we do resumes and we do job searches, but again, read the book. The Magic of Thinking Big will make you think a little bit different about that. So there's kind of the problem, and I will say I am in this situation. I vacillate back and forth between this situation all the time, where even though I'm pretty clear what I'm doing, I'm trying to get to the why, and it can be just plain out depressing that when you're sitting there looking, I've been doing something for a certain period of time. Do I want to keep doing this? Why? 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 You know, and I'm in that situation personally. This is just where I am, that I'm looking at things and thinking, the money's not the issue. There's so many wonderful things about what I do, but, you know, just where I am in my life, a lot of these things don't matter anymore. The money doesn't really matter. Those kind of things are not that important. It's the why that's important, and you lose track of why. So what we want to do and what I want to encourage you to do today is to look at your why. So some of this may have to do with your what, but which is why I sent you to the calling exercise. But I want you to make two assumptions real quick with me, and then I'm going to ask you some questions, and hopefully you go off and explore this. The two assumptions are, let's take your household expenses and let's assume they're paid. Now, many times you've heard this statement of, if money was not an issue, what would you do? I want to word that a little bit differently because most of us cannot fathom money is not an issue. Most people who are in debt and those kind of things. So let's look at our household budget. Let's assume that, and I'm going to pick a figure from what a lot of people who are making about $100,000 a year spend about $4,000 a month in household expenses. So let's pretend that's you, and whatever your number is, pretend it's there. But just assume you have money coming in the door. There's a check that goes straight to your bank account every month for that $4,000. Okay, so in other words, it's there, it's for life, it keeps coming. You don't have to think about it. Now what do? Your household expenses are paid, no money, no worries. Now, many of you are sitting there thinking, I know what you're thinking is, Dale, if that's the case, I'm going to live on the beach and be a beach bum. I'm going to do things. And if you think that's the case, I'm going to be interviewing Stuart, and I really haven't nailed it down, but Stuart was one of the first guys that told me, Stuart Rabin, and he had told me a couple of years ago, he said, you know, I've sold my company. I'm never working another day in my life, and I'm going to play golf every day. And when I met him, actually when I met him was right after that, and he got tired of playing golf. He decided to go back to work. He started another company, very successful company, and he's still working today doing things a couple of years later. Because in the end, when you get back from this long vacation, your trip to Europe and everything, and you got all your expenses paid, and you wake up in the morning and you've quit your job and you're retired, whatever you want to call it, and you wake up in the morning and you're like, what do I do now? What do I do now? And more importantly, why do I do it? So that's the situation I want you to think about, is just assume you're covered. You don't have to worry about money. This does not assume you're wildly rich or you're going to go out and buy a few Lear jets, because that adds chaos to this experience right now. The second thing I want you to think about, though, the part that goes to this, even when I can put somebody in the situation where money is no longer an issue, they still have limitations, and it may be, I don't have access to whatever it is, whatever it is. I don't have access to Oprah Winfrey to get my book sold. I don't have access to people who are leaders of organizations to get them to listen to me about my cause or my purpose or those kind of things. I don't have those kind of things. So let's also assume you have unlimited access now to resources and people. Now, I'm not saying you're best friends with these people. I'm just saying, think about it for a minute. What if you did have that? What if you could take off all these little barriers that we give ourselves? We've already taken the money barrier off, that we have to work for a living. What if I could take off some other barriers and say, what would you do? What would you do if you could get everything? Because this is what happens, and this is in all honesty. I've seen this with my life and with many others. When you start to something that you really care about, barriers are dropped. You didn't mean for them to be dropped, but things get out of your way. You don't realize what's going to happen. So let's just assume that those issues are not in the way. Okay, so you can do anything you want and there's nothing in your way of doing it. What do you do? Now that sounds like a simple question. What do you do? Now, this is getting to the why, because I'm not talking about what you're talented at here or what skills you have. That's the calling exercise. And the two overlap. They're going to overlap. But what would you do? Who would you serve? And I'm pretty sure it's going to be about a who. What people group are you going to serve? What pain points of the society are you going to want to serve? Are you going to want to save whales? Are you going to want to save unborn babies? Are you going to want to save the continental drift? I mean, whatever it is, granted, some of those aren't who issues, but they're purpose-driven issues. What is it that you really care about? Who do you want to serve? How would you help these people? How would you help this situation? What it is that would drive you? Get very specific. Now, I'm really and truly asking you to do this. And I've been doing a lot of this over months here, kind of trying to think through some issues. People, friends of mine on our mastermind group, where I've interviewed Jonathan the other couple of podcasts ago. You know, we've been thinking through these things. Our mastermind group, every person in that mastermind group is thinking through this same thing for different reasons, for various reasons of why we're doing this. So what would you do? Who would you serve? Who would you help? Be specific. Can you just sit there on your back porch or your front porch or in a coffee shop and just with a pen and paper in hand and answer these questions? Can you write out what your Monday would look like if you didn't have to worry about money, if you had access to the resources, who you would be serving, but and why? Really, that's the big question here, is the why. The what becomes easier. The why is the hard problem. Now, I know when Michael Hyatt asked us, we were at a platform conference, and Michael Hyatt was talking about our business perspective, and he asked everybody sitting at the table, write down, if you don't do what you're going to do, what would happen? And I know me and a couple people next to me wrote down, if we don't do what we want to do, we're going to make less money. And you could look in the eyes of the people sitting around you, and we were like, we don't care. That's important to me, but that's not the driving factor. And it became painfully obvious to me at that moment. Maybe it was already obvious to the other people sitting there, but it became painfully obvious to me at that moment. I don't work for money. Money's a measurement of the game. It's kind of like playing football. You don't necessarily, if you're into sports, you don't play to make touchdowns. You play because you love the game. And touchdowns is a measurement of performance in the game. Money is a measurement of performance, but it's not the why. So think about that. Can you write down what your day, what your week would look like, who you would be serving, how they would be impacted, what their life would be like? Seriously, this is the question that I'm kind of throwing at you today. I am on this mission with you. I don't know that we ever get off of this to constantly question our why. But I am convinced when it comes to living our personal mission, when it comes to living your personal mission, that many of you are spectators instead of participants. So let me ask you that. When it comes to you living your personal mission, are you a participant or are you a spectator? Way too many of us are spectators.